Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, you rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. You rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. I'm your host, the coach with the most, Coach Lee, and this is the show called Four Quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio, WFB Talk. Can you, that is. But anyway, I'm here each and every Monday night talking about women's football and what's going on in the world of women's football and football in general. And I'd definitely like to hear from you if you want to call in anytime, any place, anywhere. You can always reach me at 347-826-7278. Once again, for those a little bit slow, 347-826-7278. Just dial up, hit number one, and our super-duper producer, BJ, would definitely charm you in or slide you in, and we'll just go from there. I'm not in front of the computer today, so I don't have access to know who's in the chat room. But anyway, for those who are in the chat, what's up? But anyway, we're moving on. Man, we're getting close to the season, and I'm just getting hyped up and ready to rock and roll and do my thing and coach my team up and hopefully get them in the championship this year. Not only get there, but win it. And like I said, I'm excited, the girls are excited, and I hope you are excited about women's football in 2010. And let's see what I got here. What I got here on the plate. Basically, we got a four quarter. We're going to talk about ticket sales. We're going to talk about team stats, something that's very important for all the teams and the historical value of the teams. Quarter number three, we're going to talk about the NFL Network film, the documentary on the AFL. Which will actually, I fell in love with it last night and watched 6 hours straight last night from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. I just could not get out in front of the TV, and I was dubbing it at the same time, so it didn't even matter. Then also, we always end like we always do. In the fourth quarter, we talk about hot topics on the NEEM board. That's Women's Tackle Football Group .NEEM.com, the number one networking board for women's football. Yes, 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 y'all. And that's how we do it, y'all. So let me tell you about my sponsors, y'all. This show is always brought to you by Adidas, my Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We all should be blocking Adidas. Why? Because they support women sports, period. And also by Enterprise. Why pick Enterprise? Because they will pick you up. And also, we got Rogers Athletic Equipment. And I gave them my own slogan, where the good gets better, by using Rogers Athletic Equipment. The good gets better. So that's how we rock this thing. That's how we do this thing. And then we always kick it off, you know, just like a regular football game. The kicker just gets back and just goes about 7 yards or deep, and then run up to the ball, and boop, and it's a deep, deep, deep kick. Matter of fact, it's out the end zone, making the team start on the 20-yard line. Once again, we got an All-American kicker. So that's how it works around here, you know. So anyway, let's go ahead and get into quarter number one. Basically, I've been getting some emails. Again, you can email me at several different locations. Las Vegas Showgirls at yahoo.com. Women's Football Camp at yahoo.com. You can call me personally at 702-764-8878. But basically, I do answer a lot of questions out there. A lot of people do, you know, reach out to me and ask questions, and they want me to talk about ticket sales, you know. As you all know, we all know, women's football is not the largest entertaining crowd per team, per location. You know, a good crowd, and I'm being real with it, a good crowd is 500, maybe 7, you know, give or take, you know, 20 or 30 people here and there. But that is a good crowd for a good team. You know, I'm not going to sit here and blow numbers and blow smoke and tell you that, you know, we average 2,000 people to a game. That's not true. That's not even true at all. I know for a fact the most that we've ever had was a little bit over 1,200 for a season opener game. And but we average close to about a little over 500, 525. We fill our little bitty stadium up that we play in. We have a nice stadium over at Faith Lutheran High School, but it's just one side because it was a smaller division school, but now they went to Division IV, which is the largest division here in Vegas, and they had to do some temporary bleachers for the season, but they took them down. But they are working on, you know, stadium and hold, I think, about 2,500 shortly after. But anyway, you know, I'm talking about ticket sales. You know, the only way that we as women's football owners can actually make money is by ticket sales. And, you know, I'll tell you what the average team does. The average team makes each girl go out there and sell tickets. That's the bottom line. Because that's who the fan base is, friends and family of the players. Most teams out there aren't doing massive campaigns, radio campaigns, social networking campaigns to sell tickets. One, because they probably don't have the funds to do, and two, probably because they don't know how to do it. But I found another way that can benefit and make your team look like an all-star, and also tie in some publicity behind it. And I think I mentioned it once or twice before in prior shows. And I also talked about it at the Women's Football Camp and Conference. It's basically this. Go out and spend $500 on business cards with your schedule on the business cards, basically. It's going to be your season ticket. Or it can be an individual ticket, meaning that it has all your games on it, and they can turn it in, redeem it for one of the games. But this is my concept that we're about to institute here in Vegas. There is approximately 40 high schools in town. We're going to designate 4 high schools in different regions of Las Vegas, and I'm going to say north, south, east, and west, just to make it easy. What we're going to do, I've already put the filler out there, and I have a lot of athletic directors that are buying into what I'm trying to get accomplished. Basically, what I'm doing, I'm donating 1,000 tickets to each school. Okay? You hear me? I'm donating 1,000 tickets, meaning that it's not going to cost them a penny for these tickets. But here's the catch. It's always a catch. They're going to go to their girls' athletic department. And most of the girls' athletic departments across the country are really shafted as far as their budget is concerned, meaning that they don't get the same budget as the boys, and they need uniforms, they need everything like that. But what I'm trying to say is we're going to give 1,000 tickets to the girls' athletic department. Let's just say there's 100 girls that participate in sports at this particular high school or a high school near you. with 1,000 tickets at $10 a ticket. That means that the school will give each girl 10 tickets to sell for her sports program. Okay? And we're going to round off the tickets cost $10 so that we can have easy numbers. We're going to donate 70% of the ticket sales that they sell back to the school. Meaning, if every girl, all 100 girls, just sell 10 tickets, that's 1,000 tickets sold. That's $10,000 made. That's $7,000 made for the high school girls' sports program. $3,000 will be sent back to the showgirls or to your organization or whoever is listening and right taking down notes. Now, if we did that with four schools, we stand to make $12,000 doing little to nothing but printing up these $500 business cards or so-called tickets or however you want to do it. You can do real tickets, whatever. Number tickets, you know, to make it easy. So, again, we've collected, you know, in a utopia world, in a perfect world, idea world, you know, they sold all the tickets. We made $12,000, and we didn't do anything. The schools made $7,000 by, you know, as their fundraiser. So when we go to the news or the newspapers and we donated $7,000 to the school, to four schools, that's $28,000 that was supported by the Las Vegas Showgirls, or you can put your name in there, whatever your team is, organization in there. You know, we got our money up front. Now, will that mean that all the participants will come to the game? No. Again, you got to realize that people are buying the tickets because of the cause, not necessarily the end result of the game itself, but the fact that, you know, Melissa, Joanne, Susie, and Brianna went out and sold these tickets, and they played basketball, and they need to raise $2,500 of the basketball team to get new uniforms. This is a fundraiser that didn't cost them anything. You know, again, most of them are going to go to their mom, pops, aunties, uncles, grandpas, grandmas, you know, relatives initially to sell the tickets and go to the game as a family event. So as simple as it sounds, as easy as it can be, you still will have some people out there that don't think that it will work. But again, I'm always using my organization as proven grounds. And I know it will work. But you got to push it towards the girls' sports. Now, don't do what we did 2 years ago when we did the program. We relied on the football teams because, again, during the off season or summertime, the football teams are getting together and they want to do fundraisers. And they have the largest group of kids participating in the football team. So you got varsity, JV, and you might have a frost off team. So you got roughly 100 to 150 boys, you know, pushing fundraisers. But you got to realize they're not too inclined with promoting women's football. Not only the coaches, but the players, because they don't think girls or women can play football. So that's not a good group. Now, if they want to do it, then let them do it. Now, I'm like, don't get me wrong. But their drive and motivation is not going to be as high as, say, the girls' programs or the basketball team or the track program or the cross-country team or the tennis team or the golf team or the badminton team or the cheerleaders team, you know, or the band, the drill team, all that stuff. Like I said, it don't have to be just girls' sports. It can be just girls' activities. And more people will buy tickets from girls who are supporting women activities. So, again, that was one of the mistakes that we made, not last year or the year before, because we had a bigger stadium than we do this year. But they did sell. We did have a couple of school and Pop Warner football teams. And, again, it don't have to be relied on just high school. That's just one avenue. Again, you got Pop Warner football teams out there. You got girl football. I mean, not girls, but girl flag football. You got basketball, you got tennis, you got soccer, youth soccer teams. Again, give them the incentive to sell these tickets. It's just like when you're recruiting, you know. I know I'm going to another subject real quick, but it's just like having two teams in one area. You know, everybody say it dilutes the neighborhood or dilutes the team. Well, you know, not necessarily, because they might be marketing on the south side of town that never heard of your team. So the same thing with the fundraiser. You know, the more involved, the merrier, and the less that you're doing. So, again, I'm always preaching the power is power in numbers. Now, imagine, again, I just did a simple 4,000 tickets. Of course, I'm going to keep 1,000 tickets for our players and, you know, to sell on our website and stuff like that. But I just gave out 4,000 tickets. And, you know, the bottom line is getting people in the stands. And it's just one way to get people in the stands for a good cause. And, again, if the people don't show, you still made $3 off of a no-show, you know. We'd be all rich if we got $3 for everyone that didn't show to our game. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. You know, my other concept is, hell, give away tickets and make the money back up in concessions. And I know another thing that we're doing this year, I just cut a deal with the Boys and Girls Club of Las Vegas. There's 15 Boys and Girls Clubs here in the city of Las Vegas. They all have a 15-passenger van. And what we're going to do is we're going to dedicate one game where the Boys and Girls Club get in free for those who go on a field trip. It might be all girls. It might be boys and girls. We don't know. It might be the teenagers. We don't care. The bottom line is that's 150 kids. And you know mom and daddy going to send them to the game with at least $5 to go buy what? Hot dogs, soda, candy, whatever. So, again, if you go, you know, 150 times just $5, that's $750 that you didn't make by letting people in the game for free. Again, does it make sense to you? Are you listening to what I got to say? Just getting butts in the bleachers gives you an opportunity to make more money or more money. You know, again, that's just with kids. Now, what if you went to, you know, a senior citizen home or I'm just thinking of some other places you can go to. And, of course, you know, they can buy T-shirts and all this other stuff. But I'm just saying the simple, you just drove up revenue by $750 by letting 150 kids into the game for free. And like I said, you know, the way we're packaging it for the Boys and Girls Club is it's going to cost $5, but they're going to be able to see a game, and they're going to get a hot dog, soda, chips, and a candy bar. There's your $5 right there. So, again, any parent is going to send their kids to a trip where it's going to cost them $5 and they get to eat, too. So, again, you got to be creative. It's that time right now to start thinking about this, to start thinking about this. I had another player come to me about, you know, those who are involved with cancer. You know, if you wear a pink shirt, you get into the game for free. You know, knowing that they're going to have money to come and spend, you know, to buy maybe T-shirts and buy things that you can mark up 100 to 1,000%. Again, being creative, ticket sales, ticket sales, ticket sales. You should have something on your website right now. There should be some kind of pre-season ticket, early bird tickets that they can get for discount. If you charge, you know, I'm just using $10 for adults because it's just a nice round number. And, for instance, you got 5 home games, offer a season ticket for $35. That's $15 off, you know. The thing about it is, if they just came with 3 games out of the 5, they got their money's worth. But again, you got to make it enticing. You got to make it seem like it's worth more than what it really is. You give them a big discount, you know. So that's part of the sales. That's part of getting people in the stands. And like I said, I could talk about this all day, all night, concepts and ideas, but you got to follow through. I mean, even my team has to follow through. For those who are on Facebook and see me on Facebook, I'm always throwing out our web link out there to get your season tickets. You know, I'm doing all of that. So, again, it's being creative. It's getting out there and realizing you're not losing anything by giving away something. And I know I had a couple of owners have talked to me and said, but I'm just giving away free tickets. Well, I'm like, well, that's 50 people that wouldn't even came to the game because they had to pay to get in. At least get them into the game and see the product and let the product speak for itself. Because trust me, if it's good, they're coming back. And what you can do at the game is offer half-price tickets. If you buy tickets today for next week's game, next week's home game, now you even got pre-sale tickets. give people bargain. That's what they're looking for. That's the type of brand of football that we are promoting. It's bargain football. It's family environment football. You know, it's not break your pocketbooks. So again, that's just a couple ideas. If you got some more, hey, email me at LasVegasShowgirls@yahoo.com. Again, women's tackle football. No. Don't go there. It's women's football camp at yahoo.com. Or you can just visit me at the women's tackle football group.neen.com board and drop some more signs for me. But, you know, that's how I do this here. This is how we do this. Here on Four Quarters of Coach Lee, I give it to you. You know, I ain't afraid to pass it on. You know why? Because everybody needs this information. You know, it ain't no secret. You know, again, if you came to the camp and conference, this is the type of information you're getting at the camp and conference that you can take back. You're not affecting me by taking this concept and idea. My success is your success. And if you're not successful, then I'm not successful because now I don't have nobody to play. So there's no need to herd or hoard all this information. And that's what a lot of women football owners and coaches don't understand. They just want to keep it for themselves. They don't want to share in the wealth, share in the knowledge, and share in passing on information. If you know something, pass it on to others in other markets. If it's successful for you, then pass it on. Or you'll be playing your own team. You have inter-squad scrimmages because those other teams can't survive. And 2010 is going to be real interesting this year because we're deep in the recession. Or depression, as I call it, because it ain't no recession. This is a depression. You know, folks ain't spending money like they used to. You know, it just ain't happening. So, again, we need to share. Visit womenstacklefootballgroup.neen.com. It's concepts and ideas up there, too. You know, if you got something, put it out there. Let's talk about it. Share. Nothing wrong with sharing. Anyway, that's the end of quarter number one. You've been rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. You've been rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee, and we're going to move right on into quarter number two. But you know, quarter number two is brought to you by who? Rogers Athletic Equipment, the official sponsor of the Women's Football Camp and Conference. You know, it's where the good get better. You got Enterprise Rental Car. Why? Because they pick you up. And you got Adidas, my Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We all should be rocking Adidas. So, you know, hey, that's how it goes. Again, spreading the word. Support those sponsors and get it going. And let's make it rock and roll. But in quarter number two, let's talk about team stats, yo. You know, I know this has been a horse that's been beaten several times as far as stats are concerned. I don't know on whose team, what team, or who's responsible for stats. But part of promoting football is talking about the history of football, the evolution of football, and knowing who your best players are. I would hate for us to come up with a tackle football, women's tackle football Hall of Fame, and then you can't revert back to no stats or anything. You know, luckily we have footage on most of the women's football teams, and some we don't. But my thing is this, you got to keep good stats. I'm not even saying thorough stats, because I know we all have the manpower and the woman power to get each and every person. But I think that in each stat category, you should do a minimum of a top five. A top five in each stat category of your team. So if you've been here for 10 years, you should at least know who your top five rushers are on your team. Forever. You should know who your top quarterback passing yards were. That is what football is all about. That's what football fans want to see. Why do you think there's fantasy football? It's all about stats. The popularity of fantasy football is probably one of the top forms of entertainment. Now, I've never gotten into fantasy football. I still haven't gotten into it, but I got friends who, you know, have their draft and all this other stuff. But it's stat-driven. And I know there's been several shows talking about stats on your website, updating them, you know, throughout the season, updating on the league website throughout the season. But my thing is, you should have something on your website talking about who your top players were. You know, when I go talk to a sports director or a newscaster, you know, I'm talking about my quarterback and her stats. I'm talking about my running back because I've had a running back rush for over 1,000 yards in an 8-game season, you know. I've had a quarterback throw over 1,000 yards in 2 back-to-back seasons, you know, and throw 18 touchdowns because that's what they want to hear. Again, the novelty of being a woman and playing football is gone. Let's start talking about what football fans talk about. They talk about stats. They talk about performances. They talk about the history of the team. You know, who's the leading rusher on your team? Who's the leading pass? Who's the leading tackler? You know, and, you know, if you go to LV Showgirls at, I mean, yeah, LVShowgirls.com, I'm still compiling our stats, you know, at least making that effort. And actually, I think I got all the offensive stats down. Now it's just going back and getting completing the defensive stats. And like I said, I'm just doing the top five. You know, you're only worthy of, you know, for me. This is me personally. Don't take it like I'm shafting anybody. But the fact is, if you're not in the top five, then you're not really saying much. Especially at this time and age. I mean, we only got like 10 years of the resurgence of women's football. You know, I think this is the 10th or 11th year. I'll say 99, but really 2000, 2001 when the teams are really, that really came alive. But I've gotten a lot of compliments from the website, from my website, from fans and news people because they want to know the history of the Showgirls. They want to know what's going on. So, yeah, you can show articles and, you know, pictures and all that other stuff, but we wind up getting I have what's called Las Vegas Showgirls Record Book page on my website, and it still says a work in progress. But what I try to do is give you, the fan, that don't know nothing about Las Vegas Showgirls football, not knowing when we started, you can go to this page, and you can see that we were in the WPFL in 2006. We were 2-5. 2007, we were in the WPFL. We were 2-6. You'll see in 2008, we were in IWFL. We were 5-3. You'll see in 2009, we did an independent schedule and went 2-0. We did a 6-6, and we did 8-8. Then you'll see our 2009 WFA 8-0 plus the playoffs 0-1. And you'll see a total of we're 19-15 overall as an organization at 4 complete seasons, we've gone 19-15. You'll be able to see that, you know, at home we're 9-7. On the road we're 10-8. Then you go into offensive records, for instance, rushing. It goes by game. It goes game, season, and career. Those are the three major categories: game, season, and career. So when you go into rushing, for instance, you see the top five rushers in the game all time for Las Vegas Showgirls will be number one, will be 250 yards by Dina Hauser versus California Quake in 2008. You will see 212 yards by Dina Hauser versus New Mexico in 2008. You will see 178 yards by Dina Hauser, SoCal Breakers in 2008. You will see 153 Dina Hauser versus Tucson Monsoons, 2008. And you'll see 143 yards by Dina Hauser versus SoCal Scorpions in 2007. So those are the top five games of any rusher on our team and happen to be the same person. Hell of a running back. Then you'll see the attempts is the next subject as far as game is concerned. You got yards and then the most attempts in one game. Dina Hauser, 28. Is the most that any running back have ever carried the ball for me 28 times in one game. She did it for 22 times, 21, and then 20. And then we had two players tied for fifth place with 16 carries in one game, Christina Boucher, and then you have Nikki Johnson. And again, it's versus the teams in the year, not necessarily the date and all, but just the year, the team, and all the other good stuff. Then it goes into how many touchdowns in one game, and we got a five-way tie for first place, which is 2 touchdowns in 1 game, you know, by any rusher on my team. Then he goes into season, rushing for the season. So the most yards ever rushed in 1 season for Las Vegas Showgirls is 1,274 by Dina Howler in 2008. And the next highest is 850 by Dina Howler in 2007. The next is 388 by Nikki Johnson in 2009. And then you got Christina Pouche for 203 in 2009 and 139 in 2008. So then you got how many attempts for the season? Again, I'm just giving you a format. You know, I'm not trying to boast and brag about the stats. But what I'm trying to get at is, hey, there is some kind of there's a top five. And it's very important to talk about your stats. Okay, so again, Dina Howler, 135 attempts in 1 season rushing. Dina Howler, 105 in 2007. Nikki Johnson, 55 in 2009. Christina Boucher, 47 in 2008. She had 45 carries in 2009. The most touchdowns in the season, again, go to them, those three categories, yards, attempts, and touchdowns. You know, Dina had 11 in 2008. She had 8 in 2007. Nikki Johnson had 4 in 2009, Christina Boucher 3 in 2009, and Kerry Walters in 2006 had 3. Then it goes into career rushing yards. So again, it goes now it went from game to season now to career. So the leading rusher in team history is Dina Howler with 2,124 from 2007 to 2008. Then you got Nikki Johnson, who only played 1 year with 388. Then you got Christine Pouche, who's played 3 years for 342. And again, it goes into attempts, touchdowns, the longest play. Then it goes into passing. Now passing has its own. Passing has game for yards, attempts, completes, touchdowns, and interceptions. It goes into season, yards, attempts, completions, touchdowns, interceptions. Then it goes into career marks. We only have really 2 quarterbacks over the last 4 seasons, and you got Kerry Mitch, who's thrown for 2,785 yards in 3 seasons, and then you had Shauna Connelly, who's thrown for 705 yards in 1.5 seasons. So, again, these are the things that we're talking about. This is what people want to know, that we got receiving yards per game, how many catches per game. Catches in the game, yards in the game, touchdowns. You guys get this. You feeling me, right? You know what I'm talking about. But, again, we talk about receiving stats. Then we go over to defensive stats, and that's what I'm working on as we speak. And by this weekend, I should have the career, the game stats for tackles, sacks, interceptions, fumble recoveries, and what else? Another stat. We got fumble recovery, interception. Yeah. So, again, that is very important to bolster your stats and let people know that these women can play ball. Because once they go here, they're like, damn, somebody ran for 250 yards? Or somebody threw for, let's see what the record is for throwing on our team in 1 game. The actual record for our team is 248 yards by Shauna Connelly versus New Mexico Burn in 2006. And actually in that game, she threw 1 touchdown for a 99-yard touchdown. So, again, that's the longest reception on our team as well. And then you got Kerry Mitch, who has 242, 236, 222, and 214. So, again, stats are so important, very important, very, very, very important. All right, it sounds like I heard somebody about to talk. Is that somebody on the line?
Oh, you know it is, big dog.
Oh, who that is?
You know me, the one and only.
Oh, this must be Coach Bartley. What's happening, boss? What's happening?
You know me. Got to listen in. Eavesdrop and get my little ear hustle on.
You got to get your ear hustle on, man. Like I said, I'm trying to boast a little bit about, you know, putting a historical or history page or all-time, you know, stats on your website, because that's what people want to talk about is, you know, is football. They want to see what these women are performing like, you know?
So, oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so my thing is pushing these teams to start, you know, building up their stat database and not relying on the league database, because I know that the NWFA had their stats up there, and once the league fell apart and dissolved, all the stats left. And the teams
without it. Well, I can speak from experience. You know, I'm a big stickler when it comes down to the stats department. You know, and I got to, if it means me sitting down myself and going through all the stats, then so be it. But that was something that I had to do week in and week out for my team. Because, again, when people hit my website, and trust me, I was getting a lot of hits, people can see what my quarterback threw for, what my running back ran for, how many sacks my DN got, you know. Yeah, those numbers are important because, let's face it, a lot of those hits that you get on your website could be your sponsors.
Right.
And they want to see how well your team is performing, win, lose, or draw.
Right. Because, like I was saying earlier, most teams are good. They're good at putting information about, oh, we won the game and, you know, we won 42-10 or whatever. But real fans want to know what the stats were like.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they look at they when they see the game results. Okay, what was the score? Oh, let's say I'll give you a good example. I won my game against the Phoenix Prowlers, first game. Final score was 27-22. But when you get down to the stat column, well, let's see, my quarterback threw for 150 yards and 3 touchdowns. My running back ran for 110 yards and a touchdown. You know, just stats like that. Tight end had 49 yards receiving on 3 catches.
Right.
But, again, those are stats. And it's crazy because I can remember all this without even having to go back to the website or to my notes.
Right.
So I'm big on numbers, dude. When it comes to them stats, I can tell you stats of what for what I played for the ball against, what team it was, how many carries, how many yards, how many touchdowns. I can go back.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah,
well, somebody
got to be out here. What's that?
Somebody got to be responsible for doing the stats. I like you said, you took yourself to be responsible to do the stats. I know that I do the stats for my team, and like I said, I'm trying to promote to everybody else. Somebody has to do the stats, and you know,
yeah, it's
most
important.
Of it's done by the coaches.
I mean, think about it. If we're really serious about taking this level of football to another level, you know, people with deep pockets want to see numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guarantee you about 80% of it is dollar buying, but then that other 20%, yeah, they do want to see what kind of games are we playing. Are we playing competitive games? Are they blowouts? You know, are these legitimate passing yards? Are these legitimate rushing yards? You know, they want to see the real thing. You know, you can't sit, like a good example, you're not going to sit here and say, oh, my quarterback threw for 450 yards and seven touchdowns, and the score is 28-3. Something
right,
ain't
right.
Adding up. So, and it's happened at this level of football. I've seen it.
Yeah.
But, you know, people want to see legitimacy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what
and
stats
people
does.
Think I mean, if it's fake or real.
Yeah, go ahead.
Say that again?
No, I was telling you to go ahead. I was about to comment on something, but go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'll finish.
Oh, well, my thing is this. Again, if you got proof, meaning the video, then it shouldn't be an issue. And, you know, like you were saying, 7 touchdowns and only got 28 points, you know. That it just doesn't add up. So it needs to be somebody that's doing the stats either at the game or doing them after the game, but to cross-check, cross-reference those stats, you know, to make them legit.
Exactly. Exactly. But, yeah, like I said, dude, I just wanted to call in and get my little air hustle on, you know.
Okay, well no problem. I tell BJ to put the mute on you, and I'm going to finish up. We got about 20 more minutes. But, you know, like I said, I'm glad you called in, man. I haven't talked to you in a minute. And, you know, the bottom line is people can always call in 347 Yeah, what is this? 826-7278, and always drop in. If you want to holler, just holler. You know, I stop in the middle of my topic for you to holler. So, again, you know, that's Coach Barley, you know, calling in and dropping a little bit and reinforcing the fact that, you know, stats need to be taken care of. I know as a coach, I would like to know the stats of the team. I'm always stat hustling on the website because, you know, that's part of strategy. You know who's carrying the ball. You know who's the top receiver. You know, it helps in what you're watching on film, you know. And that's why a lot of people don't do stats because, you know, everybody's top secret. We don't want to let you know what we do, even though we exchange films, you know. And some people don't exchange films. Like you get a blank one or something like that. That's been done. But, you know, that's part of the strategy, you know, in tendencies. So as a good coach, you know, I want to know what the stats are. You know, I want to know what the breakdown is. I want to know who the leading tackler is on the other team and who the leading interceptor is. Because, again, that means I need to throw away from that person or I need to run away from that person, you know. So, again, stats are very important. And my thing is this, teams, push a top five list minimum in stat categories. Again, if you need an example, just go to LV Showgirls. LVShowgirls.com. And like I said, I'm not saying that I'm the trendsetter. I'm just saying that it's just being done. And it'd be nice to have every team out there and give recognition to those women who played for you, you know, and give those new players, those new rookies, and those veterans that getting their opportunity now to say, hey, I'm going to go after Kerry Mitch's record, or I'm going to go after, you know, Dina Hauser record. You know, give them some incentive. That's what I'm trying to talk about. That's what the stats is all about. And, again, it brings legitimacy to not only your team but also to the league. So, again, push the issue. You know, I went over a little bit of time, so you know what? I'm going to move on. Moving on to quarter number three. Yeah, you know, last night I caught myself watching the NFL Network, which I do all the time anyway. But I finally got a chance to catch the building of the AFL, American Football League, with its original teams and all the other things. And like I said, I'm a big history buff. I love going back and reading on how, you know, McDonald's became McDonald's or Burger King became Burger King, or that not Pioneer, but KFC used to work for the McDonald Corporation before he started Kentucky Fried Chicken and his secret recipe. But what I'm trying to get at is, you know, we all repeat things that happened in the past, especially if we don't know what they were. We tend to repeat them, you know. And this is what I've been screaming for the last 5 years in women's football. Stop reinventing the wheel when the wheel is already invented. Just add some more spokes to it. That's all I say, you know. The foundation is laid out there for us to follow and to understand. And you got to realize that it took millions of dollars to get to a level where we were trying to get to. And I keep screaming that there is no millionaire owners of a women's team out there. There isn't. If it is, I ain't seen him or her. I haven't felt him or her. You know, the bottom line is take the history. So, again, if you get an opportunity to watch the building of American Football League on the NFL Network, please do. I mean, it is a great five-piece documentary. And I learned so much from that documentary last night that I didn't even go to bed last night. I was so in tune in watching it and so caught up. And, you know, you had Al Davis, you had Peter Hunt. Who did you have? The guy that used to own the owners. Who else? You know, just starting off with eight teams. And all I can do is look at similarities of what took place. You know, you got one league that so-called supposed to be dominating football, which was the NFL. And then you had another league that just came about and went 10 years competing in the last 3 years before the merger, they actually had the actual Super Bowl, you know, pitting one league against the other league. And in the documentary, it talks about without that situation occurring, football wouldn't be where it's at today. And, again, you hear a lot of people screaming and hollering, we are this and we are that, you know, and just like they did in the late 60s. You know, one league felt they were more superior than the other league, which was fine and dandy. But it all works out on the football field. You know, one team creates all the hype about being the number one team in the nation, example, LSU, and they go play against the best teams, then that's fine. You know, but if you leave a team out just because they're undefeated and the other team is undefeated and this is some kind of ranking system, nah. The best team will show up on that Saturday or that Sunday and play against each other. But again, that documentary has taught me so much, and I definitely would like to share. I didn't bring my notes with me. I left them at the house. But again, learn the history of the game. Learn the benefits of what these guys who were millionaires had to learn and lost millions of dollars on, and realizing, hey, I can't survive without you. You can't survive without me. And that's the mentality. You know, one league was airing it out and exciting and everything else, and the other league was old school, grind it out, and you know, it was two types of football. But the bottom line, it was football games, and they gave themselves an opportunity to compete to determine who was the better of the teams in the league. I mean, Vince, what's his name, Lombardi, you know, he made a comment after the game, after they won the first Super Bowl. And he just downed the AFL, saying, yeah, they were a tough team, but they weren't as good as the NFL teams, you know. And then the following year, they won again. And then the next year, the Jets won, that won Super Bowl III. And then the Chiefs won Super Bowl IV, you know. But it was 2-2 after 4 years before the actual merger. And I don't know what the breakdown of it is now in the AFC and the NFC. As far as Super Bowl wins out of 44 that just took place. But the fact is, they sat down and talked about the issues, that they can't compete amongst each other where they were dividing the players. I don't think we've gotten to the point where we're dividing players and things of that nature. And owners are paying more money for this player because, you know, they got drafted and stuff like that. But the historical view or what I'm trying to get out of this is that football was made to be played on the football field. Opportunities were given. And from there, it built. And it got to the product that we got now. What, some 40 years later. Yeah, 40 years after the merger. Yeah, this was the 40th year of the merger. But, you know, am I screaming that we got to do it, merge to make it better? No, the opportunities are there. Again, after the Super Bowl, which was the first Super Bowl was the AFL versus the NFL, the next year they wind up doing exhibition games to see the quality of play. And they were great exhibition games because guess what? One league didn't want to lose to the other league. So guess what? It wind up making football more competitive. And that's what we all about anyway, is competing. So again, I'm just pulling out little inserts that I recall. I'm going to go back home this evening, probably watch an hour of it, and watch it again by this weekend for sure, and really go to the meme board and start talking it up. And I think I've brought up several subjects, and I've actually got some stuff off of YouTube, you know, maybe a year ago on the top 10 reasons why, you know, show regarding the NFL-AFL situation, because it's a learning situation. And if we're not open enough to realize that and see how these other teams, other leagues have competed against each other, it's great to compete. I love competing. I don't think there should be just one league. Because, again, you got to keep that momentum going. You got to strive to be the best. The same thing that we teach to the team, the same thing we teach to women, the girls, whatever. We want to be the best. We're going to showcase to be the best. We're going to work hard to be the best. And we're going to move forward as the best. You know? I'm pushing the heck out of WFA. Like I said, I'm doing everything I can to make it the best. And I'm pretty sure that all the other owners are doing what they can to make it the best. And there's nothing wrong with that. The bottom line is, let's do what's right for football, and that's playing the game. You know, this year would have been a hell of an idea because of the situation to put the KC Tribe versus the St. Louis Lamb. Wouldn't it cost a dime for travel? Wouldn't it cost a dime for travel? It was just a coincidence this year. And I think that game should have really happened. I really do. Because if you are the best, then you shouldn't be shying away from anybody. If you feel you're the best, you ain't turning down nobody. Like I said, I know for a fact, for me, I'm willing to play any and everybody out there. I don't care who you think you are. I wouldn't play the best. If you so-called the best, then let's hit it. Get it off. Let's hit it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Because somebody's always going to complain something. Y'all ain't that good. Y'all didn't play nobody. Hey, we play who's in front of us. I say it each and every day. Whatever's on the schedule, if it's on the schedule, we do what we're supposed to do, and that's win, we win. If we lose, we deserve to lose. But what makes it better is the team itself. So, again, it's like the Harlem Globetrotters. They go around the world to play anybody who think they any good. And like I said, same will be here. So I think that would be another, as a hot, tough topic, it's a great topic that people are just scared to talk about. You know, it's really emotional behind it. You know, because it's an ego thing. That's my baby. I created that thing. I don't want nobody messing with mine. That's the attitude that you would get. But the fact is, that baby got to grow up. That baby got to go out there and prove himself. And it shouldn't be any restrictions on somebody proving themselves. And like I said, I go back. I really thought that it would have been a great opportunity 3 weeks after the season for those two teams to play. Again, because we all need a measurement stick. That's what it's all about. We play these games to measure ourselves to see how far we've grown or how much better we've got. You know, my experience in WPFL was great. Why? Because I felt that we played against 5 of the top 8 women football teams in the country within a year and a half. That gave us a measurement stick. A measuring stick, not measurement, but a measuring stick to where we got to go. That's what that was all about. We won the games that we won because we were better than the teams that we played. We got the experience of knowing what a good football team is all about. As a coach, that's what you want to know. You want to test your team. If that team over there across the street says they're better, then you want to make sure. You want to see. If they are the best, I want to play the best. Again, don't get me wrong. I think every team that we play is the best for that time. But don't go out there hooting and hollering that you're the best, and you're the best coaching staff, and you're the best team if you ain't willing to play. If you ain't willing to play, then you need to shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. And let all the talking be done on the field. That's all I got to say on that. Yo, like I said, hey, I just do my thing, you know. I'm public enemy number one. You know, I might be hated, but I'm loved because I give you that love. You know, I just speak the truth. I just speak what's on my heart. There ain't nothing here in front of me with no, I never come into the show with proper notes of what I'm going to say. I write down the 4 topics, and then it's all about what I know and coming from the heart, just like what the song Public Enemy said. You know, listen to the lyrics when this show go off. Listen to the lyrics when this show come on. That's me. That's what I talk about. Because it is coming from the heart. But the fact is, let's play. Play ball on the football field and let it speak for itself. If you're good, you're good. If you ain't, it will show. You know? I've gotten my butt whooped. I've got my butt whooped, 3 times? 4 times. Very first game that we played, we lost to SoCal Scorpions. What? We'll score 35-0. We were in the game for 14-0 at halftime. You know, hey, but that's a team that's been around four years prior to that. That was our first game. The next week, we take the LA Amazons into what? Overtime. You know? And they were a great team. Again, we made steps. You know, we scored more points on Dallas than anybody else have outside the championship game. We scored 20 points against them. Yeah, that was a moral victory. Yeah, they scored 51. But it was a game. It was an exciting game. It wasn't like 51-0 we scored. You know, they were beating us 30-0. Then we just kept coming back, kept fighting. Challenging the girls. Kept challenging the girls. So what? We're not going to win the game. But let's win in our eyes, saying, hey, we're going to do better than any other team has done. You know? We weren't no rollovers. Those are two times that we just got completely beat bad. Outside of that, every game we've been in, we've been in. Against the best and teams that we, you know, we had three opportunities the year before last to go 8-0. We lost, you know, three games by 13 points. You know, no excuse, we lost. But the fact is, we got to see our team elevate as far as the level of play. And this year, we coming. Yo, we coming. Trust me, the attitude has changed because we coming. And I hope everybody has that attitude. You know, this is your year. This is our year. Hey, let's make it happen. All right, all right. I know I'm talking, shaking and baking, got off a little bit. But, you know, NFL Network. Check it out. What is it, 212 on DirecTV? And like I said, look it up. The History of American Football League. 10 years. John Madden was on there. Al Davis, Peter Hunt again. Taking football to the next level. You can even look at the XFL. Taking the NFL. That little one-year challenge brought some new technology to the NFL. You got the camera that zooms over the field now, you know, the John Madden play camera, you know, different views, you know, the technology with the radios in the helmet, that came from a different league. And NFL just, you know, once a league left, they took over that technology. So again, you can learn from those who are around you. But you got to compete. Just like we tell the girls on the field, compete. Hey, we got to compete in the boardrooms. We got to compete getting sponsors. We got to compete getting ticket sales. Don't rely on your team to do all that. It's good, but don't rely on it. But anyway, I didn't get a chance to get over to the kneeing board. I did not get a chance to get over to the kneeing board going to the fourth quarter. I know I only got about a minute or two, so. I'm just going to say, hey, head over to the kneeing board. I think that's my music. Yeah, that is. Oh, yeah. But head over to the kneeing board. That's Women's Tackle Football Group.meme.com. And check it out. Sign up. Get your team on there. Send your fans over there. Do what you got to do because that is the number one networking board. That is the place to be. You're a coach. There's a lot of entertaining things on that website. There's a lot of videos learn things on. You know, use the board for what it is. It is a networking site. It is a place for you to be out and about, learn the game, do what you do, and make it happen. You know? Wow, that music's not clear, but I hope it's clear on your end. But it might be just me. But anyway, you rocking four quarters with Coach Lee. That's four quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio each and every Monday night. So tune in. Call a friend. Tell a friend. See y'all next week. And I am out of here. Peace. What I am, God knows. Help coaches coming from the